Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
It's the day after Selection Sunday, and everyone is always excited when the NCAA tournament brackets come out. I mean, you could not watch a college basketball game all year long, and I guarantee you're filling out multiple brackets this week. It's the allure of March Madness. Now, if we talk about the men's bracket, Selection Sunday, only one team from the state of Utah will represent. Utah State will enter as a 10th seed in the South, and they get number 7, Missouri, in the opening round. We'll talk about the men's bracket right now. Joining me over the phone, a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Curtis Condi, Coach Curtis Condi, who has made the rounds as a Division I basketball coach to begin with, very familiar with the NCAA tournament. He's going to join us throughout March to talk about each round and, of course, the build-up to the national championship, which is set for April 3rd. Coach, it is great to get you on. It's great to talk some college basketball with you ahead of this weekend where we have both rounds 1 and 2.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Jordan. It's my pleasure. And it's the best time of year.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. And for me, it was a little bit of a letdown over the weekend with Southern Utah, my alma mater on the guys' side, falling just short, losing to Grand Canyon in the WAC championship. The women for Southern Utah get in. We know that the University of Utah women have been dynamic all year, so we have some representatives on the women's side. But on the men's side, just Utah State's the only program in this state representing. Kind of a down year, I would say, all the way around. I know if you're an Aggie fan, it's a great day, but in the same sense, only having one representative, it's kind of a letdown.
Well, for me, I'm wearing my Utah State shirt, being an alum. I think it's a great day, and it just shows who the best program in the state is. I was pulling for Southern Utah, though, in the WAC championship, and I kind of feel bad for Todd Simon and his guys down there in Cedar City, but they still get to play. They get to play in the CBI, and so you know it's going to be it'll be a fun week though. Whether or not we got people from the state of Utah in, and you know we'll go from there.
Let's start breaking down the brackets on the men's side, and Coach, we'll start with the West. When this bracket was revealed yesterday, I was kind of dumbfounded. I mean, this is the death region. I don't think there's any question. Kansas, UCLA, Gonzaga, UConn. Strongest out of all four. All four teams that I just mentioned are ranked inside the top 10, with the 9th-ranked Jayhawks actually being, I guess, the least well-regarded out of the four in my mind. I look at this bracket and I say, wow, whoever comes out of the West is going to be battle-tested.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. 100%. And I do think, though, that Kansas is going to get tested, but I mean, UConn, that whole top side is really good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, all the way through, and in fact, we were talking about Southern Utah falling short in the WAC championship. Grand Canyon gets Gonzaga in the first round, so that's the 3-14 matchup. UCLA, UNC Asheville. I think UCLA is one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country. They get a 1 seed if they top Arizona. If they're healthy, I think they get the 1 seed. And then I mentioned Kansas, and I say that this is probably the least well-regarded team out of those four. And I mean no disrespect to defending national champs, but in the same sense, they got housed by 20 on Saturday night.
They did, but, you know, again, their head coach was not there. He was in the hospital recovering from a heart attack, from what the reports are saying. So it'll be interesting to see what Coach Self is able to do this week.
When you look at the other four number ones, Bama, Purdue, Houston, Kansas, rank those four number ones for me.
You know, Bama, but they've got their own issues internally. You know, and Purdue, I really liked until I saw them play yesterday. And they struggled against the press from Penn State. And if they win on their first round game, then they've got to probably come up with against Memphis. And that's what Memphis does. So all their weaknesses for Purdue is what Memphis is really strong at. And so, you know, and then Houston, excuse me, Houston, they lost their best player. He pulled his groin in the American Athletic Conference semifinals. So I don't know if there's a clear number one. I would say probably Alabama, because physically they're 100% from what I understand. Mentally, not too sure.
Speaking of Houston and Kansas, I want to throw this out there once again. I know that that was one of the big controversies when the final brackets were revealed. I would assume that Houston's performance on Saturday, coming on Saturday, instead of Sunday, may have actually allowed them to stay ahead of Kansas. That's one of the criticisms, right? You and I have gone back and forth on this. You know what my criticism is of conference championship games in general, the tournament games in general. But when you take a look at the Saturday to Sunday, this does play a factor in the way the committee views the number one overall seeds.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. 100%. But again, you know, there's so much parity, and the NIL... For as much as a lot of us purists in college athletics don't like it, it has created a lot of parity. A lot of parity.
Again, Coach Curtis Conde joining us right now. He's going to be joining us all month as we talk the NCAA tournament. Coach, I mentioned the West being the most difficult of the four brackets. You agree with that. When I take a look at the one that probably presents the most parity, I think look no further than the Midwest. There's some really good first-round matchups. I mean, while the West is going to be the most difficult, I don't anticipate there being a lot of upsets 1-4. Might not be the case. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, but when I look at the Midwest, there's the potential for some really good first-round matchups.
Oh, yes. That Iowa-Auburn game, it's going to be a great game. And the typical NCAA tournament 12-5 game, Drake can beat Miami, especially because Miami's without one of their better players. And you know, that Penn State-Texas A&M game, Penn State's playing their best basketball of the year. So there's going to be some really outstanding games. And whoever wins in the first four between Mississippi State and Pitt will have a very good chance against Iowa State. And the more I find out about Kent State, I think they're going to give Indiana a run for their money. But Indiana, I think at the end, might be just too big to win, you know, for Kent State to overcome them.
Also in this bracket, Texas A&M gets a 7 seed despite finishing second in the SEC, and then they advance to the tournament title game. This right here surprised me a little bit. I know we always talk about snubs, teams not getting in, but the fact that Texas A&M gets a 7 seed doesn't do this bracket, I don't think, any favors. I mean, that 7-10 matchup becomes immediately interesting for me, and that if Texas A&M gets past Penn State, as I expect they will, Texas gets them in round number 2. Not an easy go for the Longhorns.
Oh, no, but that'll be pretty fun if that's a second-round matchup, you know, to pit those two teams that haven't played each other for a while.
Right. Let's move on and talk about the 1-16 matchups don't do a whole lot for me this season, Coach. I don't know about you, but when I take a look at the 2-15s, there are some intriguing matchups here. And I know everybody loves the potential for an upset. I think you just take a look at some of these outside of UCLA, UNC Asheville, because I do believe that UCLA is kind of in a world of their own when we talk about the two seeds. Arizona gets Princeton, Marquette gets Vermont, and then we look at Texas and Colgate. The 2-15 matchup are interesting to me.
Oh, I like Princeton, the Princeton-Arizona matchup. Kind of going back to Princeton against UCLA back in the day. I think that was 96. I think that, and then Vermont. But Marquette is on a run right now, and they've been battle-tested through the Big East. But Vermont always finds a way to play.
What's the best storyline for you in the NCAA tournament? If it's regarding a coach, I mean, the idea of Rick Pitino getting, a team that he's somewhat familiar with. I mean, we were talking about the idea of some upsets. You have Sean Miller with the potential of going up against a program where he first managed to rise to prominence. I mean, there are some really interesting coaching storylines in this tournament. What's the most interesting to you?
For me, honestly, there's two. Does Coach Cal's team lose again in the first round? Because they very well could to Providence. It's just a different thing around Kentucky's program right now. And then I would see also Duke's new coach. Can he get, you know, how far can he go? Because he got hot at the right time. John's done a really good job with his team. especially of late. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think those are two storylines as far as coaches.
You mentioned Calipari and the idea that Kentucky could be upset in the opening round. Let me throw this out there. If they are, in fact, done after round one, is that the end of the Calipari era at Kentucky?
I don't know, because how much money can they pay for that lifetime contract buyout?
Yeah, but it's got to at least be a topic of conversation, right?
Oh, yes. I think there'll be many Kentucky fans, because there are some right now that don't like, you know, the one-and-done thing. And I think, having spent some time in Kentucky, I understand how big basketball is in that state. What people, I think, don't understand out west, when Kentucky plays basketball, everything shuts down. Everything shuts down. You can't get anything done when Kentucky's on TV. And so this is going to be very big for Coach Cal. He's got to win this game just to get a few naysayers off his back. And he went to the transfer portal and, you know, got some guys, but are they really Kentucky guys? Are they all in, or are they all about just making that NIL money from Kentucky?
Coach, a couple of more questions before we end this segment. You mentioned the 5-12 matchup every year. You know there's going to be a 12 over a 5, and really I like the four 5-12 matchups that we get. We can start in the South. We get San Diego State and Charleston. You go to the East, you get Duke and Oral Roberts. I actually really like that matchup. I think Oral Roberts will actually push Duke. That may be one of the best games, I think, of the first round. We get Miami and Drake, and then in the West, in the bottom right corner bracket, we get St. Mary's VCU. Your favorite 5-12, and which five should be on upset alert?
Oh, the five that should be on upset alert, unfortunately for me, because their best player played for me, is San Diego State. The tournament did them no justice, having them fly from San Diego all the way to Orlando, and then to play an outstanding Charleston team, called the Charleston team. So they need to be on alert. I think Miami needs to be on alert. And I think St. Mary's needs to be on alert. It's just a different style of play. And I think the other thing is who's officiating the game. If the teams on the West Coast, with the exception of San Diego State and UCLA, because their coach demands toughness, they don't play as tough a game. The kids aren't as tough. And so that's the thing. So anyway.
Well, we'll end with this. Before I get your Final Four pick, we have to mention the Mountain West. I got to give you a chance to talk about Utah State as well. Mountain West getting a big shot this year. I mean, you have San Diego State. We have Utah State. We got four teams from the Mountain West in the field, right?
Yes, there's four teams, and I think, you know, the Mountain West plays a stronger type of play compared to the Pac-12, and I think that's why you've seen the tougher-type teams get in this year.
Coach, who's your Final Four?
That's a great call, and I haven't picked it yet, so I'm going to be honest, because I haven't looked exactly how far.
I can tell you right now that coming out of the West, I have UCLA. Back in October, I remember having this conversation with you as well. I thought UCLA would win the national championship back in October, and I got to stick with the Bruins. I was actually, if they were healthy, I think they win the Pac-12 conference championship. I'm taking UCLA to go to the national championship. I like Alabama, who's the number one overall seed, to get to the national title against UCLA. There's the potential for some big upsets this year. But honestly, outside of the top four seeds in each bracket, I don't see anyone really making that push. I would be surprised if we have a big Cinderella in the Final Four this year. I would.
I would agree with that statement. So,
who's your national champion? We can narrow it to that.
As an SC guy, it's really hard for me to say this, but probably UCLA.
It's to me, this is a very complete team. Very complete team.
Yes. And the nice thing is if they do win, I can say I beat their point guard.
I'm taking the Bruins. You're taking the Bruins as well, then. We agree on this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Coach, I look forward to chatting with you again as we continue to move through the NCAA tournament. I know it's going to be a big weekend. Looking forward to get your commentary and your analysis over the weekend. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks again, and go Aggies.
Yeah, really our only hope for a Utah team making a deep run in March Madness, the Utah State Aggies. Great to get Coach Cotty on the show. We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Sutherland Studios.